The Testimony of Ben Bernanke, Part 2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke continues his testimony on Capitol Hill today. Yesterday, he told a House committee the economy will keep recovering, but things are still ugly enough that interest rates will stay rock bottom for an extended period. Today, he moves to the Senate Banking Committee. Joining us now is a committee member who voted against Bernanke's confirmation last month, Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Bernanke made his big low interest rate pronouncement yesterday to the House. So what's left to talk about today in the Senate?
Well, I really hope he will jump in to address this issue of small business lending, and I hope he'll take on fairness to consumers. The Fed had responsibility for fairness to consumers when many, many things were done that were absolutely unfair. And so he's in a position to say now, had I to do over again, here's what I would have done.
Why did you want Bernanke out of the job?
What it came down to is every decision that he made increased risk in the system. Now, people gave him a lot of credit for saying that once it blew up, he did an adept job of keeping the fire hose focused on the fire and putting it out. But my point was, we need to rebuild an economy, and as the person who set the situation up for the economy to burn down, really the person you want to take us forward. And my answer to that was a resounding no.
Senate Banking Committee member Jeff Merkley, Democrat from Oregon, will be questioning Fed Chair Ben Bernanke today on Capitol Hill. Senator, thank you.
It's great to be with you. Thank you very much.
After months of health care wrangling in D.C., lawmakers look to refresh the process today with a bipartisan health care summit. Now, you're going to hear a lot today about the politics of health care. But from Marketplace's health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner says the real key is that sticky issue of cost cutting.
President Obama hasn't been shy about warning us about the rising cost of health care. Here's his last weekly address.
We'll see more and more Americans go without the coverage they need. We'll see exploding premiums and out-of-pocket costs burn through more and more family budgets.
His plan for reform would cut those costs by requiring all Americans to buy insurance. That's the way insurance works. If you mandate more healthy people to buy in, there's more money in the pool, and premiums can go down for everyone.
But if you're going to have a mandate, you have to provide subsidies so that insurance is affordable for those with relatively modest incomes.
That's Henry Aaron of the Brookings Institution.
And if you're going to have subsidies and not blow the budget out of the water, you got to do a couple of things.
Like raise taxes, which no one likes to support, or cut spending on other aspects of health care. And that brings us back to the whole cost-cutting thing. Here's Steven Zuckerman of the Urban Institute.
The cost of that care and the volume of the services that people receive really may be too high.
He says health care is too pricey, and there's too much of it. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
A few minutes ago, the government said factory orders for big-ticket goods shot up last month, thanks mostly to demand for airplanes. Now major European stocks are off 1%. Ratings agencies are threatening to downgrade Greece's debt, and that is inflaming worries about the entire eurozone. Asian shares lost 1% today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow went the other way and added 91 points to 10,374.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals. 1-888-VANGUARD. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
In the Senate right now, negotiators are working on new Wall Street rules, hopefully to prevent the next crisis. People who don't like the new financial regulations being proposed warn that if you come down too hard on Wall Street, you will risk limiting financial innovation. So, what is financial innovation, and is it really so wonderful? Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
What are some of the wonderful financial innovations to come out of Wall Street?
We have to sort of set the scene here. Paul Volcker, the legendary former Federal Reserve Board chairman, stood in front of a room full of financiers and says, you know what? You people talk about innovation all the time. Only thing I can think of that's made any real difference is the ATM.
Ooh.
This is a machine. Now, that really hurt. And so I've been fascinated with this issue, and a lot of people agree with Volcker, but I think there has been more innovation. The equity index fund.
Yeah, it's not managed. You just plunk your money in an index fund.
And you just do as well as that index or as poorly as that index.
Yep.
The money market mutual fund really changed the way we save, at least with our short-term money.
Mm-hmm.
Another one would be the early generation securitization of mortgages. So before we got to all the abuses of slicing and dicing into little tiny pieces, I think the early generation securitization of mortgages helped out.
So these proposals to re-regulate the financial industry, would they tamp down on financial innovation or wouldn't they?
I mean, the industry loves to shout from the skyscrapers that this is going to destroy innovation. It's not going to. And in fact, I would argue that we will see more good innovation with some of the regulatory proposals, because businesses, financiers are going to have to work with transparency, with better capital requirements, and with the customer in mind. And what we know is when you create products that are good for the customer, now that's an innovation.
Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
I want to do a correction now. Yesterday, we did a piece about a direct-to-consumer website called Alice.com, and we said incorrectly that the site sells information about its users to manufacturers. Not true. Alice.com provides manufacturers with data about the overall sales of their products. And finally, Stephanie Madoff, daughter-in-law of convicted Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff, is legally changing her last name to escape the association. Now, you would think she'd choose a name nobody resents and has nothing to do with investing. Instead, she chose Morgan. Hey, she could have gone with Stephanie AIG Goldman Sachs. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.